When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you, off and rolling on this Tuesday morning. Well, it's a great Tuesday because it was a great Sunday, and it's been a great stretch. It's been a great Eagles season, and one to a certain extent that kind of came out of nowhere. Look, we'll talk about it today. There's a lot on the Eagles to do. Sixers play later tonight. It'll be without Joel Embiid. We'll get into that reality. Your phone calls on all this today, of course, at 215-592-9494. I mean, the Super Bowl feeling is in the air. It's a beautiful thing. We'll discuss it all today. Richie Rich.
No Joel Embiid.
That's right.
I hope he's all right. I really do. Joe. Butter is naturally white. I think I actually said that before. Okay. I think that might be a little bit repetitive. Butter's actually white, not yellow. Jimmy reminded me, maybe I said that before, but maybe it was also boring. What I decided to tell you instead, okay, in ancient Greece, writing had no space between the words.
Writing had
no space to separate the words.
Letter
in
to
ancient
letter.
Greece.
Just letter, boom, boom, boom.
All squished together.
Well, that's really dumb.
And reading it had to help people decipher what the heck was written.
Well, those people were dumb. Okay, let me tell you this. There's so many ways to go here with the Eagles. But how can I even frame this here? This is a let's get on the record about how surprised we are or not show. Now, let me tell everyone something here. I am shocked by what we're seeing from the Eagles. Shocked. And obviously thrilled. I mean, look, what they're doing is incredible. The win over Baltimore, exhilarating. 10-2, an 8-game winning streak, remarkable. Today I want to hear from you at 215-592-9494 to tap into, and you can pick the time. After last year ended, the spring when they're trying to put a team together, the summer, late September, 2-2, 4-2, you know, the bye week. Tap in today to how surprised you are with what we're seeing, because there are so many aspects of this team that to me, it almost defies logic that they've gotten here now. I mean, I know this, at the bye, or when it, what was the, James, was the bye 2-2 or 3-2?
2-2.
All right. Nobody saw an 8-game winning streak coming. 0% of people saw an 8-game winning streak coming. Johnny, your credit, you started talking about they could win the next 4 or 5. But I heard, look, we field thousands of phone calls on WIP. Not one person called and said they're about to rip off 8 in a row. Not one person said, by the way, after that, then they're going to be favored in the next 5, and they're going to win their final 13 freaking games. Nobody said it. So I want to hear from you today at 215-592-9494 of what amongst all this shocks you the most. Let me tell you my answer, John, because I've got five or six things that are top of mind for me, worthy answers, but I'm going to give you my number one. That after the all-time collapse in the last half century in Philly sports, not since the 64 Phils had we seen something as ugly at the end of a year as we saw last year at the end of the Eagles season, where they were losing to bums. They were losing to the Giants. They were losing to the Cardinals. Then they faced the Bucs team. The game was over. How many times did I say in the offseason? The Eagles were dead upon arrival in a playoff game. Dead upon arrival. What has shocked me the most is, while keeping Sirianni, which was a very controversial decision, and keeping Sirianni and Hurts together, albeit with Kellen Moore in the room, but that thing of, like, let's run it back with Sirianni and Hurts, and oh, by the way, we'll do this internal of, like, whatever happened, we'll talk about it, we'll deal with it internally, and we'll get the train back on the track. I did not think they would get the train back on the track. I'm being honest with you. I didn't. And early in the year, we it didn't look like it was. I mean, it wasn't like disaster like it was at the end of December and January last year. You know, but it didn't feel good at all. And somehow this team has found a way, despite the, I mean, let me put it this way. We talk about the 64 Phils. No one ever referenced the 65 Phils. I don't know what happened to them. I know this. They didn't make the playoffs. They didn't win the World Series. This Phillies team, this Eagles team right now has a tremendous chance to win a Super Bowl. They very well may be the best team in football. And I will tell you, full disclosure from my end, I did not see it coming. I didn't. Now, look, I want to hear from you today, 215-592-9494. What surprises you? What shocks you the most? I'll say this. As Eagles fans, I think a lot of us are accustomed to them generally having good records because they have for most of the last 30 or 40 years and oftentimes in the Jeffrey Lurie era. So it's not a complete shock that they're good, but to be this good after what happened last year, honestly, has completely floored me. And I'm remarkably impressed with what they've done. John, what has hit you the most that has surprised you about this team?
I'm not surprised that Saquon has been awesome.
I am to this extent.
I'm not surprised
to this extent,
that
I
the
am.
Run game has lifted the offensive performance.
Yep.
I am, you know, we have the best player in the NFL. It's not surprising to me that Saquon's doing what Saquon's doing. And man, our offense, we thought our offense was going to be lifting everything. We thought our offense was going to be carrying the rest of this team. What surprises me most is that our defense kicks so much ass. And I guess the nucleus, like right in the middle of it, our linebackers, I've never seen this. I don't remember. Oh, wait, you know what? I have seen this. I played with this. When I was in Philadelphia, when Trott and Carlos Emmons type
yeah.
play, like tough linebacker type play, that's what I'm talking about. That where linebackers are prioritized. What surprises me most about this Eagles excellence is the linebackers are such unique. They have unique skill sets. They are such ass kickers. They are so awesome together. You've got a guy who used to be lining up on the edge as an edge rusher who's now the coverage specialist. He's your linebacker coverage guy. Think about how weird that is, man.
John, I will tell you.
That is so bizarre. And then you got N'Kobe Dean, the guy who was supposed to be too little. You know, he actually was. He actually tried and seemed too little for a season. Remember that it was like a lost season. We're wondering, when's this guy going to show up and do something? When am I going to notice him? He's so dynamic now. He explodes through backs. He loves to blitz. He loves to get in there and mess with people's minds in the A-gaps, just like Trott used to once upon a time. Mm-hmm. And then if that back blocks somewhere else, or if Coach Fangio sends him in an A-gap, man, you know, like if there's a green dog up or if he gets sent, he is going to destroy that back. He's going to run right through that back. He's going to punish that guy. I never thought in a million years N'Kobe Dean was physically capable of inflicting this sort of total damage on other human beings. Both of these linebackers are killing folks in a great way. Like football-wise, they are dominating. And the tackling, we talk all the time about how sound we are as tacklers. It all starts right there in the middle with your linebackers, the guys who are huddling guys up, the guys who are setting the example. Our inside linebackers, all of a sudden, after being ignored for 25 years, it seems like, 20 years. Well, it's been a long time.
I'll tell you this.
They're back.
It came so out of nowhere. I mean, first off, let's be real. 99% of us had never heard of Zach Bond. Never heard of him. And we all had heard about N'Kobe Dean, but almost all of us were like, maybe he gets to the point where he can hang in there. Maybe. He can be hang in there guy.
And
no
I think
one.
We all doubted.
Oh, I doubted
because
him.
He was so quiet when he had a chance to play the last time.
He did nothing in the first 2 years. He did nothing. And I didn't even think looked good in some of the
we
training
thought,
camp
okay,
games.
He'll be a special teamer. I guess we'll get the most out of him that way. But, man.
I thought it was going to be a sieve at linebacker.
Making plays. Yeah. And he's dominating these backs who try to block
James,
him.
What has surprised or shocked you most with this football team this year?
I mean, it's what Richie, like, the defense is the most shocking thing. I get, like, they're the best defense in football. We're talking about it being the best defense we've ever seen with the Eagles. Like, we just talked
about... Well, hold on, 91.
Sorry, okay. since we were kids. Since 91, that's fair. But we're talking about being better than 04, better than 22. Like, we're talking about this defense, like, they are the best. We came into this season, okay, maybe they could compete, right? After last year, we'll see what happens. There's a ton of talent here. Maybe this offense will be so awesome with all this talent that this team will be great. That was the only scenario we saw to be sitting here where we are right now. And instead, it's the freaking defense that is carrying this football team. The defense and Saquon. I am, like, beyond shocked.
Well, I'll say this on the Saquon thing. John, you brought him up. I'm shocked he's this good. Here's where I was on Saquon. I'm going back to when they signed him in March and everything I said, April, May, June, July. I thought he would be very good. I did not think he would be truly great because I didn't think he had that left in him. And I certainly did not think he would be historically great in a way that we'd be talking about him maybe about to break the record for most yards ever rushing in pro football history. Like, I had that at 0%. My bingo card, 0%. Shocked by that. I thought between the injuries and the wear and tear and the age. Remember, guys, he played 6 years up in New York. So, no, I didn't see this coming.
He had multiple big injuries, injuries. Yeah.
I know he did. And what, do you only have maybe two seasons of 1,000 yards or something?
It's wild,
all
man.
Right, look, what has surprised you the most? I mean, look, Jalen not turning it over has been a tremendous plus last 2 months after he, for about a 12-month stretch, had led the NFL in turnovers. There's so many aspects of this whole thing. We want to hear from you. Out of order was the Philadelphia Eagles in early October. I am beyond stunned, and I'm curious of the many aspects of this team which have thrilled us. Which element of it has shocked you the most? It'll be interesting. I mean, the defense is a worthy answer. There's no question. But so, too, is how did they get it back together? I mean, 71% of people wanted Sirianni fired based on a poll we did at the end of last year. You know, this whole CEO coach thing was incredibly doubted, and yet here they are, maybe the best team in pro football. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Keith in Germantown kicks us off. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing well, Keith.
Man, it's just amazing watching this Eagles do their thing on the field. It's just shocking the world how these cats are coming together. And, you know, with all the things going on, it feels like it's an everyday thing for them. It's like going on the field and you're just seeing something different every week. Every week you want to see something different. And that's the real shocking part. But the one thing that really gets me is when Jalen Hurts sit on the bench, it just seems like the face reaction that he has on the bench, like he doesn't care who they playing. We're going to win.
He's very confident.
Yeah, look, I'd say he doesn't really change his expression whether they're playing the best team in football or the worst team
Except
in football.
Except when Saquon goes off.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, that's a good point, Rhea. He has
smiles.
He has shown smiles. Yes, he has. When he sees Saquon scamper. That's true.
Was a blue moon, but he seems like it doesn't care who they playing. We're going to win. And he has that look on his face. No computer in front of him. Nothing. He just sits on the bench until it's time for him to come in. He doesn't care. We're going to win.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you say care, I know what you mean. He cares, but I understand what you mean. Rhea, what
I kind of like for him to have a computer sometimes.
Yeah, though. But I also like times, the change up. I like the
there
smiles.
There are times where he's just sitting there, and I feel as though he could be more productive. Like, let's be honest. When he's just sitting there, right. And it seems like he's not talking to anyone.
I know.
There have been a couple times where it's like, man, you could be getting some information about something.
I know. He's not doing the Peyton Manning thing.
I mean, I know you need to recuperate.
Right.
But not, like, can we multitask while recuperating,
yeah.
Jalen?
No,
I do think that's something that they can work on.
Well, the good news is they worked on any number of things with him that they've never articulated quite what they were. But, you know, Brandon Graham, when he was in with us a week or two ago, had referenced, and I don't have the exact quote, but something to the extent that Jalen changed something about the, let me put it this way, I think what he was alluding to is some of the stuff people complained about with his personality as it related to interacting with others.
Well, you've seen it all year. I mean, every post-game interview, all the stuff, the way he talks, the positivity, yeah. I mean, the way, like, he's smiling, he's laughing, he's having fun. It might not be every time you see him on the sideline, but I think he's done a really good job of that.
Let me give you an example. So let's listen to Jalen Hurts. This is from after the game Sunday night. So they get that win, they get to 10-2. Now remember, back in... When was it he was asked that softball about Sirianni? Was it the summer? Right,
it was the, OTA's time.
Okay. So he's asked a question and just gives a disastrous answer. Just disastrous about Sirianni. And it's like, oh my God, here we go again. Now he gets asked, I would say, a somewhat similar question about Nick Sirianni. And this time his answer is so much more buttoned up. It doesn't cause any problems. If anything, it makes people feel really good. Because you feel like these guys are on the same page, even if Sirianni and Hurts aren't communicating quite as often, because you got the Kellen Moore factor, you don't have an issue. Listen to Hurts the other day answering a reasonable question about Sirianni in a very reasonable way.
What ways do you think Nick has evolved and grown through this season?
Yeah, I just think his approach, his patience in certain moments, and I think his ability to. Dive in and kind of get the real detail of things so he can better prepare us to do what he do what we do. I know he's very intentional with the time he spends and the situations, and he's had some moments where, you know, he wish he could have done something else, and then he has some moments where we got to help him out as well, and then we got moments where we need to learn from him all, and so it's all collaborative.
He was just in here, and he was saying that you belong in the MVP discussion, and it's that people try to discredit you because of stats. What's it mean for you that he kind of, you know, defends you like that?
I mean, I appreciate his intentions with it, and I have a lot of love for coaching that. My focus is winning. You know, my focus is winning and doing what I need to do to help this team win.
What a tremendous answer! I mean, Rhea, that's a 180. From what he said this summer about Sirianni.
The two of them. And I didn't think that was a relationship that could be repaired.
I didn't either.
I mean, I'm stunned. And I rolled my eyes at they had a meet, you know, that they met during the bye and worked some. But clearly I was wrong because it seems like they have.
You know, my thought was here's where I was coming into the season. The only way the Sirianni Hurts thing can work is if they're completely separated and Kellen Moore is the only one basically dealing with Jalen. That's where I was. And I don't think that's what
it
is.
Which ultimately is not going to work long term.
It's not a great way.
Yeah.
It's not a great way for an organization.
It's not sustainable.
It's not smart. I mean, and I think we know Howie and Jeff Lurie are smart enough and wise enough to know that's not a great approach. But we had all sorts of questions and all sorts of doubts. Rhea, what has surprised you the most with this football team that both impresses you and surprises you?
Well, you guys took a lot of the defense, so I'll go over to the offensive line. We all know how great Jeff Stoutland is.
Yep.
The fact that he took Mekhi Becton and made him into a guard. Reasons why Saquon is, and it's this line. You see, he's on the second level sometimes. Mailata's out for a couple games. Fred Johnson comes in and play. We keep acting like we're surprised. But the Mekhi Becton
thing shocking.
Blows my mind.
It's kind of like, here's what it's sort of like, because I followed that situation in New York enough to know.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like getting someone else's Jalen Reagor, and then they become really good. Now, the thing about Becton is there was always natural skill set there, but he was just not seen in New York as a worker, as a guy that could stay healthy. Like, he was a bust. I mean, just telling you, he was a freaking bust with the New York Jets. He gets here, they change his position, he's flourishing.
And just on it's a amazing. Hunch, on a hunch by Stoutland. Let's try him out there.
Pretty amazing. Let's get to Dennis right now in Mount Laurel. Dennis, good morning. Dennis, not ready to go. We go to Ken. Ken is calling from Mays Landing. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Ken.
So my biggest surprise was the tale of two passers the other day. Jalen really surprised me, especially in that one soft zone. A.J. sits down the middle. The ball was on, like, his back hip thigh. A.J. falls to the ground. Jalen was protecting him. That crossing route, that shallow route to Goddard, and there was zip on the ball. And conversely, Mark Andrews could have gotten lit up the way Lamar was hanging him out to dry across the middle. Now, credit to Andrews for catching those, but I don't know if you noticed
it's never been close. It's never been close. Like, the comparison between Jalen's arm and accuracy and Lamar Jackson's, it's night and day.
Yeah, Ken, I've never worried about Jalen's arm. I obviously have had major concerns on other levels of
decision
his play.
Making more.
Yeah, but his arm, while not phenomenal, is more than good enough to win with. No question about that.
He had a couple passes earlier this year to A.J. on the outside where you can see A.J. was a little frustrated. And the difference between the way he, like, chose to have zip on the ball and when he puts the touch on the pass, that was very surprising because I still have nightmares of that final pass in that Tampa game his first year. This guy doesn't have an arm, but it turns out my man worked his way into really having an arm, which was great. And one thing real quick, that can we get rid of that outside quarterback sweep? I love up the middle. They're using Saquon almost as a fullback, which, you know, Richie, I'm sure, has probably seen it. Saquon goes up the middle. Sometimes he gets lit up, but then Jalen seems – you know, that 9 or 10 yards that he had the other day, and that outside QB sneak, I'm not feeling it. So thanks for taking my calls, guys, and go Hurts. I love the arm, man.
You got it, Ken. Appreciate the phone call, man. 10-2 is a great record. They're doing great things. Look, what's going on, everyone? Joe to camera, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you. Sirianni today at 8:40. Jaws at 7:25. Elliot on the program. Great chance right now. You want to hop on. Get in, 215-592-9494. While we're on things that surprise me, let me hop over to the Phils for a sec, because we glossed over this about 2 weeks ago when it happened. I didn't see it coming, and I don't quite know what to make of it, that Garrett Stubbs was brought back by the Phils. Now, I know we don't normally talk too much about backup catcher, but...
You didn't see that coming.
No, I thought they were going to cut...
It feels like they love Garrett Stubbs,
but,
doesn't it?
Yes, but they also lost with him, and I think we know that the catcher in the minor leagues, Marchand, is better. And I think we know it's time for JT to play less, and you don't carry three catchers. James, were you surprised? Like, I don't want Marchand just to be in the minor leagues. So what...
Well, so the Stubbs contract, it looked like it was I've never seen it, but like a two-way contract in baseball where it's like he gets paid a certain amount if he's in the minors, he gets paid a certain amount in the majors. So they factored in the possibility that he might not make the team, but they wanted to have him around.
Okay, so you think he might get beat out?
That's the way I interpret it. Again, Rafael Marchand has never stayed on the field ever, 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 ever. Like, you can't count on Rafael Marchand to be the backup to JT. You just can't.
Do you think they want Marchand to be the backup?
I don't know. Honestly, like, ideally, sure, I think you want any prospect to step up and be better. But I don't think they expect. Okay. I don't think they expect it.
Yeah, Stubbs has done a really nice job.
Not
of,
so much
fine.
This year.
He's okay.
Preparing the for these games,
yeah,
and getting the pitchers ready. Like they rave about his, I don't know, conscientious prep.
I think a lot of backup catchers are like that. I think a lot of backup catchers, you're a backup catcher because you can't hit, but you're a good catcher and you can get in, you can call a good game and you can play good defense.
So
I think
you're saying
that's what every backup catcher for the most part is.
So yeah, I agree with that.
So he's a butterface.
What does that mean?
So it looked like
butt her face. I got
you. Yeah, there is not one backup catcher.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball, you're going to find is like a rakes. Like, no. You know, if you can hit as a catcher, you're going to play.
Well, anyway, it caught me a little off guard. I also thought he was a candidate to be shipped out for the purpose of turning the page. Like, if they're trying to not have the culture just be the same culture, I thought, and look,
but
I'm not.
The culture's a great culture.
Well, unless it's.
Yeah, unless it's hit a wall.
Unless it's hit a wall.
The limit with it.
Yeah, because he's kind of, to me, look.
I think it's a declaration.
I think they need a culture change.
Well, I like Garrett
saying that it's not
going to. I like Garrett Stubbs.
But I did see him as a candidate for how they begin to turn over the thing in there. I'm just putting it.
They're not turning over the thing in there.
Well, not through him. And listen, if it's only Boehm or Castellanos traded, and my guess is one of them will be traded, but only one, that's not a massive.
Who do you prefer?
I prefer Castellanos traded. I think Boehm's better. But I know a lot of people say because of the way Castellanos ended and the way Boehm ended, keep Castellanos, get rid of Boehm.
It's because of the way Boehm acted.
It's
because you can get more. And it's because you can get more for Boehm than you can for Castellanos.
Yeah, right.
I prefer the adult.
All right, look, 215-592-9494. I'll tell you what I prefer. Sitting there and watching a great movie, like the tremendous Good Will Hunting that came out on this date back in 1997. Great movie. Super smart guy, that Will Hunting dude. You know, he's like MIT or whatever the heck he is, except he's you know, sweeping floors, but he can solve math problems that, you know, make smart people spin their head. They don't get it. Here's the deal today. When you call in, 215-592-9494, in addition to your point about the Eagles, the Phils, we'll get to the Sixers and more, give us a great answer to who, from a fictional standpoint, is a really smart character. Is that Will Hunting guy really, really smart? When you call, best answer, whoever provides, it's going to win a pair of tickets to see Kevin Hart, his Acting My Age tour. It's at the Met Philadelphia on Sunday, December 8th. So obviously coming up in just a few days. Kevin Hart in town. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. But you can also win them here today. John, all the movies, all the shows, all the books, all the everything from a fictional standpoint.
Yes.
Smart character. What hit you?
This was my favorite show in the late 70s when I was a little boy. The Incredible Hulk. Dr. David Banner is my smart character. On the TV show, it was Dr. David Banner. In the comic book, it was Bruce Banner. He went with Stan Lee, always went with the alliterative names. But David Banner is what they chose for the TV. And David Banner was a physician, a scientist who was searching for the hidden strengths that all humans have. Then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation altered his body chemistry.
Here we go.
And now, when Dr. Banner grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs.
You are something, John. You really are. You must have really driven Gruden and Andy Reid nuts. I don't think you pulled this around then, but maybe you did. Seltzer, I like when John does that.
Give me
a good answer for a smart character.
So I don't know that I love how smart he is, but I mean, if you think to cut someone's face off and put it on your face yeah. as a way to get out of prison, I mean, Hannibal Lecter, smart guy.
Hannibal Lecter. Here I thought you were talking about one of the characters from Face Off. I actually got confused.
No, no.
Because that's another cut the face off.
No, Lecter is a genius, you know? Like it or not.
Lecter is a genius. 215.
Everyone's doing it.
592-9494. Smart character, Rhea. What do you got?
I always like a straight, smart character, and I love Silent Jay in Silent Bob, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. in you know, the movie where he says, you know, there's a million great-looking women in the world, but not all of them bring you lasagna at work. Just, I like his lines. I wait for them in all the movies he's in.
All right, so look, big answers are obviously out there for a smart character. Now, I'm trying to avoid, John, I'm in a tough spot here because I got a couple in mind, but I'm trying to avoid some all-time haymakers. I'm going to just refrain, all right? I'm going to let it go, see where people take, because there are big answers. Smart character, Kevin Hart tickets on the line. Give us big time answers.
You're refraining?
Yeah, because if I
what?
Say.
Why do we have to do all the work?
The first time ever.
Yeah, fine. Tyrion Lannister. Does that make you happy?
No.
Not make me happy either.
That's actually a good answer.
I know it's a good answer, and that's why I wasn't going to say it. You shame me into saying it. Fine, I'll give you a freaking...
Well, you should have picked a different one.
Well,
you
too bad.
You should have known better.
Just Seltzer, that's out. Richie's okay. fault. You
that
rewind
was definitely
the tape.
Richie. No, it was Richie's fault.
I was
no
out
question.
Of it.
Is
no,
it really my fault? Yes, absolutely.
Why didn't you shift on the
he
fly
was ready
to
not do it.
I was ready to move on.
Yeah, and then he didn't have a worse answer. If he had a worse answer, he would have said it.
All right, speaking of answers, you tell us the answer. Smartest character ever from a show, a book, a movie, whatever it might be. Plus, what has really surprised you the most on the Eagles, on a team that I think has really exceeded expectations. And the way they're doing it, I am shocked on multiple fronts. Let's get to Dennis in Mount Laurel. Dennis, good morning.
Hammer, how the hell are you doing today, sir?
Very excited about our football team, Dennis. Very excited.
Yeah, nobody saw this coming. Nobody saw this coming. How about, what is this thing with Joel Embiid with the injury management? What the hell is that?
Well, he's injured. That's what that's about. Now, he's also out for personal reasons, but he has an injury. Like, breaking news, everyone, his knee's not right.
Shocking.
All right, so he gets this year, next year, then we gave him 3 more years after that, right?
Well, I think it's this year and then 3 more years. Right, Rhea, do I have that right or wrong? Is it this year,
it
next year, and three?
It seems like forever.
Maybe it's fine.
I thought
you might
it was
be
a three-year extension.
On a two-year deal left? You might be right, Dennis. I think you are right. I think it's this year. I think it's 5 total years moving forward, I believe, meaning this one and 4 more.
Get the wheelchair ready because that's the only way he's going to get out to center court in 5 years.
It's bad, man. It's bad. And I wonder if it's going to require the kind of surgery Lonzo Ball had, which has just wrecked his career. You know, like there are players that never get back to greatness. Anthony Hardaway had half a career without greatness. Grant Hill had half a career without greatness.
Carson Wentz had a season with greatness.
Yeah.
Yes, Carson Wentz was never the same physically. I do dramatically wonder, Dennis, whether he will ever be able to play 8 straight games and average 30 points.
How do you dramatically wonder?
You sit there and you look really serious while you're wondering. You're like...
I'll tell you how. You look like that Greek guy in the statue.
You got to do the thinking man thing.
Yeah, that guy.
It's Rodin's thinker, man. That is dramatically wonder right now.
Dennis, I'm also going to punch Richie in the face today, but go ahead. Yeah.
I got a trivia question for you, but I did like Richie's, you know, analogy of, the Incredible Hulk. I mean,
the greatest show ever, at least to my young mind. I used to ask my mom, Mommy, please draw the Hulk. And she would make pictures with my crayons, and they were almost lifelike.
Wow.
Lou Ferrigno as the Hulk pictures all over my bedroom.
Richie, the way you went into the metamorphosis and all that was great. That was a great
he was fired up.
Awesome show.
Dennis, what's your trivia question? I need a victory.
you're going to get this one because you can think this way through because you are a sapient human individual.
Thank you, sir.
There are 12. I think there are 12 teams that have never won a Super Bowl. Okay. How many of those 12 have never even been to a Super Bowl?
Well, the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets. That's one. Philadelphia Phillies. Phillies have never won a Super Bowl. The Flyers.
You got to phrase your questions better. I've learned this a bit there.
Dennis, if you come at the King, be precise. Right?
It also wasn't great when he said, I think there are 12.
Yeah. And by the way, trivia questions with 12 answers aren't exciting for sports radio. I'll give you the Lions and a couple others. I'm not going to waste my time with 12.
The Texans have never been to the Super Bowl.
Dennis, bad job by you. You're normally good on this stuff. That one's a little lame. Give me an answer, Dennis. What's the smartest fictional character? Who is it?
About Lieutenant Columbo.
Columbo. Yeah. Boy, that was, that Peter Falk?
Yep.
Columbo.
I never, ever watched that.
My God. It was my dad's favorite show. He loved him.
That Absolutely was a him. Genre
I like
back
Falk
then.
A lot. Peter Falk's great.
The investigative guy or gal.
He kind of bumbles, but he knows what he's doing. I mean, there's a million of them who set.
Angela Lansbury had, she
Jessica
wasn't a
Fletcher.
Bumbler. Yeah, I mean,
there's Matlock. There's all
totally.
This.
Totally.
Matlock's back. Kathy Bates is Matlock
She's
now.
She's fantastic, by the way.
It's supposed to be good. I haven't seen it.
I have a new. Here's my. If I'm king of the world, all the 3, 6, and 10 shows from 8 to 11 o'clock are just abolished. All the network shows. Look, nobody that's a good director, producer, actor. No one's in those shows.
Well, it's not true. The actors are in because they have paid. Kathy Bates
Sometimes,
is Matlock.
You know
Kathy Bates is a great actress.
Yeah. Here's where I'm at. Put on a freaking vacuum cleaner infomercial.
I don't think they should do it either.
The
but you,
shows
are you saying Kathy Bates is a bad actress?
No.
Exactly. She's Matlock on CBS.
She made a bad decision.
She made a money decision.
All right, let me ask this question.
Very simple. There's a lot of money, so she took the money.
But not as much as it used to be. John, let me ask you a question. All jokes aside, because I'm joking a little bit.
It does fall flat a little bit.
Let me ask you this question.
Because I agree with the heart of what you're saying.
Let me ask this question. And this goes for everyone at 215-592-9494. What is the last show that you would consistently watch on a regular 3, 6, 10, or 29 that was not one of those
like The Simpsons
reality TVs?
Does Yellowstone count?
No.
It's on Showtime.
3, 6, 10, or 29. That's not reality TV, and it's not some vote-in awards.
Well, like The Simpsons and stuff. I still watch that and stuff. Are you counting those? Like, I watch the anime shows
because
on Sunday night.
That's grandfathered in because it's 35 years ago.
Okay.
What in the last 20 years have you watched?
Well, I watch cartoons. Like, Bob's Burgers is another. Like, those type of shows on Sunday night.
I got nothing. John, what is the last show you watched on regular TV from 8 to 11?
I mean, Abbott Elementary.
I think it might be something like American Idol.
No, I'm saying not that. Not American Idol types and not reality TV. What's the last regular show
Designated
you watched?
Designated Survivor, I watched that.
Okay, when is that?
I
about 20
Abbott
years
Elementary,
ago?
Which is on now.
Yeah, but I've watched Abbott, but that was a favorite, my Blacklist. Those were shows that have been in the last 10 years.
Okay, all right. John, what's yours?
No, it might be something like the WB. I might have watched Smallville on the WB back in 2007.
I'm just saying, I don't know why they bother. I really
like
don't.
Modern Family was a show that a lot of people
Family.
Watched. That was on ABC. That was one.
I definitely watched that while it was on in, first run.
Sure.
Modern Family.
I never did.
Because
I watched
got to
it in the
meet
pandemic.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
That actor up at ESPN when I was working there at the time, he was
Eric
up
Stone
there.
Street.
He's a Chiefs fan, right?
I just feel like a lot of people, it's got to be a long time ago. All right, 215-592-9494. Jimmy right now. Jimmy, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, Jimmy.
Oh, man, it's an amazing time to be an Eagles and a St. Joe's prep football fan.
There you go.
Got to tell you. So this win obviously was just massive on Sunday. I mean, I've talked for a while. We have the best player, I think, in the NFL in Saquon. I think we have the best defensive coordinator in the NFL in Fangio. I mean, the defense is just playing every week. I feel like they're playing better. And, I mean, that Ravens team is really, really good, and they made them look average. And then props to Howie. I mean,
they
Mitchell
had 12 points. It was even better than that, I think, Jimmy. They made Lamar Jackson look pedestrian.
Yeah,
which is an incredible accomplishment.
Look, Jimmy,
he
I'll say
not pedestrian.
No, he's not. I'll say this one thing in the Ravens' offense's defense. They should have had 7 more points courtesy of their field goal kicker. So, you know, whatever the number ended up being, tack on 7
That's
more.
That's true.
You know.
That's true. But, hey, when it's all said and done, when you look back at that game, before garbage time, we held that group to 12 points.
I totally agree.
And it was 3 points in the second half, for all intents and purposes, before the garbage time.
Look,
you know, just don't even count it.
Here's what it was. It was 2 Hall of Famers, Lamar and Derrick Henry, who were both stymied.
Completely neutralized.
Yeah.
And skill guys, those wide receivers are incredibly fast.
Yeah.
Think about the fact that Quinyon is running stride for stride like it's nothing in man with the fastest wide receivers going.
That was good.
But a great offensive line,
that
too.
He's even better.
And Mark Andrews is, that guy's a beast,
man. He's awesome, yeah.
Oh, one of the best.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy, give me an answer here. Who is the smartest fictional character?
I'll keep it local. I recently rewatched Law Abiding Citizen with Jamie Foxx and Gerald Butler. I thought he was, obviously it was kind of a, intense movie, but I thought he was just an amazingly smart character, the way he kind of devised the plan there. Great.
All right, my man.
Based in Philly.
You got it, Jimmy. So here's what's not been smart. Whatever the Sixers are doing.
Okay. Wow. Well said.
Now let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Harry, red tag bonus cash. It ends soon. New 2025 Chevy Trax arriving daily, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Here's the poll question. Do you think Embiid will play even 30 games this regular season? John, we were trying to figure out before the show, what number should we put into a poll? Like, 20 games is so low, what's the point? So we went with 30, which maybe gets you to the postseason, but
might not.
How many
games has he played?
Oh, God.
Well, 2, right?
I'll look 4. It up. It's
4?
He's played 4, I believe.
Out of what, 19?
18.
What are they right now?
4, they're 4 and 14.
My God.
Yeah. The fact that I can roll them off my tongue means I spend too much time looking at it.
Yeah, and another game tonight, and you can tack this one into another one that he won't play. Now, hopefully they win. It's against Charlotte, not a tremendous basketball team. John, what's your gut feeling? Does he even get to 30 games?
No.
That's my gut feeling, too.
And I thought, honestly, I thought I was amongst the most skeptical with my gut initially thinking around 35, for the season. Like I really did believe this was going to be a fiasco from the get-go, because it was the opening, the season opening game that he chose to sit out of.
Yeah, but here's where I'll say me at that moment. Why I thought at that moment.
At that moment, I thought 35 games.
So,
and now I think less than that, which I think is incredible. I thought I was lowballing it initially, and now that's fallen even farther, which I thought was next to impossible.
At that moment, my thought process was he's going to miss a couple games to start the year, but then he gets back in there, cranks it up, because he has always started slow, and then he gets in there and cranks it up.
The problem is now.
The problem is he can't answer the bell.
He doesn't want to do.
I don't think it's a one issue,
worry,
John.
My
I think
worry,
it's a can.
This is my worry.
Okay.
That he doesn't want to put the work in to get back to where he's healthy enough to get back.
That's not my worry. My worry, dramatically so, is he can't do it anymore. He actually can't answer the bell. That's my worry. I think Joel Embiid is a motivated athlete who wants to achieve.
Oh, my God. Where do you get that from?
No, not in the sense that he is always committed the way he needs to be.
You can't be motivated if you're not committed to putting the work in.
You think he's a motivated athlete who wants to achieve? I think he's the opposite.
No, you can be.
I think he's an unbelievable athlete who's been pampered to where he doesn't even understand what motivation is.
No.
I don't think he understands what. The hard
you're spinning
work
my words against me. No,
is.
here's my point.
I think they're right. I think the point. I think he wants to win, like, holistically. Like, he's like,
that's my point.
I'd like
but
to
he's
win.
Not motivated.
No, but he's not motivated.
No.
He's not motivated to win. If you're motivated to win, you take steps to win. You do something to win. I think he's just like, oh, it'd be cool to win. Like, I think he'd 100%. Prefer to win than lose, but I don't think he is motivated
right.
by winning.
I get your point. I think that's a fair way to put it.
I mean, I'm kind of trying to draw out a little bit of, like, Iverson wasn't wired day-to-day to work as hard in the gym as Kobe Bryant.
No, but he
really wanted to win.
Yes, but I think he wanted to win in a way that Embiid didn't. Embiid will not push through pain the way Iverson would. Embiid would not push his body and fight to win the way Iverson did, forgetting the practice.
But I will say, the point John made that I disagree with is I don't think the fundamental issue is that Joel doesn't want it now. I think the fundamental issue is
I don't think he knows how to want it. I don't think he ever.
He might not, way. But now I believe the biggest issue by tenfold is he can't answer the bell. I think because in the past years, I mean, he would play 60 something games and averaged 30 points. Last year, I think he averaged 35. Mm-hmm. 35 freaking points. Right now, we'll be lucky if we get him out there for 30 games. All right, the Joel thing obviously on the table in addition to the Eagles 2-1.